Welcome to this virtual service at Westchester Chapel. Thanks for listening to this message that comes directly from God's Word. To hear more, visit westchesterchapel.org and click on Media. Now grab your Bible as we dig into it together.
Have you heard about this strange situation that's happening now in New York City? Men are just hauling off and hitting women in the face. Women they don't even know. Not that it would be better if they knew them. It was such a consistent phenomenon and is even still happening that some people thought it was some sort of TikTok craze. But no, seems like this is just something that the criminal and the mentally and emotionally ill element here have got a hold of. And just one more thing to watch out for in the midst of all the craziness and the usual mentally and emotionally ill people here in New York City. Never mind the subways. Practically every week, you hear about somebody who is pushed off or otherwise placed in harm in the subway. There's groups of people stalking people, including an Uber driver who got beat up badly by a group of young people, 12 years old, some of them. I mean, just crazy stuff. It just seems like chaos is the king here in New York City. And it's not just here, all around the United States, and in fact, the world. We saw Iran attack Israel, moving that conflict from one in which Israel is trying to eliminate a terrorist group, a known terrorist group, to really a regional war. This is something that one of the people that I respect very much in the Christian world had warned us to pray against, that there would not become a regional armed conflict between nations that could escalate into World War III. So what are we supposed to do when we see the foundations of our society crumbling away, of our world crumbling away? Well, David, the anointed king of Israel, he was due to take his reign when King Saul proved faithless to the Lord. Remember, King Saul was the first king of Israel, and the Lord had warned the people that asking for a king like all the other nations might be a problem for them. Nonetheless, they wanted one, and he had Samuel the prophet anoint King Saul, but almost right away, King Saul proved faithless. He disobeyed the Lord. He tried to offer illegal sacrifices to the Lord, something that he was not supposed to do. And so Samuel told Saul that he would lose his kingdom, and the Lord called Samuel to anoint David. Now, David, you remember, he was known to King Saul because he's the one who took Goliath the giant down with some stones from a riverbed. He was the one who sang to King Saul when Saul was troubled by demonic spirits, demons that Saul himself had allowed to infect him. And when King Saul disobeyed and dishonored the Lord with the illegal sacrifice in front of all of Israel, David was the one who was anointed by Samuel at the Lord's doing, at the Lord's word, to be the king. But it was going to be years before David would assume the throne. Why? King Saul did not depart on the Lord's ideal timetable. Nope. He was jealous, he was enraged, and instead he hunted for David. He hunted him to murder him and to keep the throne, usurp it really, because he'd already thrown the throne away in disobedience. So David spent years on the run throughout the Mideast, running away from King Saul. And so many times he faced enemy fire from the enemies of Israel, yes, but also most alarmingly from his own government, from his own king. David knew what to do when his government failed him, when the foundations of his society crumbled, when his earthly king wanted to imprison him or kill him, when it seemed like chaos was the king of Israel. David turned to his heavenly king. Psalm 11 sets forth the situation very clearly. This psalm can be divided into two main sections. So go to your Bibles, Psalm 11. The first section is comprised of the first three verses, and it reads like this. David, in his voice, "In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" From the very first verse, David sets forth the theme of this psalm. And the theme here is that the Lord is his refuge in the midst of a life on the run, a life in chaos, a life where all the safeguards, the very foundations of society, are gone. And David seems to be rebuking in verses 2 and 3, that voice that's telling him to flee because the wicked are hunting him, because the foundations are crumbling. He seems to be rebuking that voice. It might even be his own voice. Certainly, it's Satan's voice, because that voice is tempting him to flee away from Israel, to flee from his call to be king, to flee from the destiny that the Lord has for him. How can you say, flee like a bird to a mountain because the wicked are hunting you even in the dark and everything is falling to pieces around you? Well, yes, it is scary and it is wearying to be on the run, ever vigilant for danger, because the wicked never give up. They never give up. Satan never gives up. We see that today. If abortion is outlawed in one way, baby killing takes a different form. If evil men can't abuse women in one way, they still find a way to get into the locker rooms. If children can't be destroyed in the womb, well, evil people destroy them by confusing them about their gender, giving them harmful drugs and irreversible surgeries. Wickedness and evil never stop on this earth. Wicked people are hunting in the day and in the night. They're seeking to destroy all the people who are upright in heart because they hate God and they hate the people of God. This reference to the upright is the people of Israel, is who David is talking about, the people who are following God, not all of them, because King Saul is obviously not following God. When we look at it today, we understand the upright to be not just people who are doing the right thing. In fact, not them. It is people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. People who have agreed with God that they are sinners and they need a Savior and they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're born again. That's what makes them upright in heart. Well, David saw, and we see, the very foundations of society crumbling. We see maybe World War III around the corner. We see family, government, the church crumbling in the face of wickedness. What, David asked, and we ask too, can the righteous people do when the foundations are destroyed? Well, in Psalm 11, verses 4 through 7 tell us, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him, the Lord, rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. And the upright shall behold his face. What do the righteous do? They look up to the Lord. That's what they do. That's what they do when there's violence on the street, mobs coming after people, when there's war, armed conflict, when innocent people are dying. They look up to the Lord. And when they do, they will see that he is in his temple. And guess what they do when they see him in the temple? What would you do? If you go to the temple and you see the Lord, you would do what David does. They worship him. That's what you do when you go to the temple. That's what you do in God's temple. They look up to him and worship him. The man who sang the last of our worship songs quoted A.W. Tozer. What Tozer wrote was, one of the most important things about you as a believer is how you worship the Lord. Do you worship him as king? As a faithful king? Do you look to him as a king in his temple? Because when you do that, you will see he is faithful above all things. And the perils of the world, they crumble because the foundation of God remains the same. And the righteous not only look up and see that he's in this temple, they see that he is on his throne. And that implies that he is governing. Who sits on a throne? A king, yes? a king. So they see him on his throne and they receive him as their king. That's what the righteous do. They submit to him as their king. They submit to his godly rule, because that's what you do with your king. With your God in the temple you worship, with your king on the throne, you submit to his governance. And guess what they also do? They submit, the upright submit to God's testing. You see, the Lord sees and he tests men and women. And in the testing, we know from this scripture and from other scriptures, the righteous are purified. James, the book of James, and Peter says in his letters too, they exhort us, believers, to consider it all joy when our faith is tested, because it will certainly result in strengthened character and more Christ-likeness in us. So God's fire will purify the righteous, the upright in heart, but that very same fire for the wicked will be like the sulfur coals that dropped on Sodom and Gomorrah, and winds that blow across the sun-scorched eastern and southern deserts will add their unrelenting heat to the judgment on the wicked. For, David writes, the Lord hates the wickedness and the violence. Now, we understand today that God loves the people and hates the behavior. But we do know that if the behavior never changes, the person never becomes a believer, that person will be judged as wicked. And so the same action, you see, the same fire will purify those who are upright in heart, who are born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that same fire will destroy the wicked. The same action, totally different results. You see, for the wicked, the Lord's fire is going to return to them the same kind of destruction they are working on all of the world and on the foundations of society. They will be just as destroyed. They will be unable to bear the weight of their own evil and unable to raise their eyes up to the heavens. But for the upright, who we know as the born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fire will so purify us that not only when we look to heaven will we see the Lord in his temple and the Lord on his throne and the Lord who tests us, but we will see his face. They receive the reward of seeing the face of God and receiving his favor. And that's what David saw. As the end result of the fire of his trials, he saw the face of the Lord, the favor of God. For those of us who are going through the fire, there's a lot of us going through the fire. The Lord is purifying, the circumstances are bad. Some of it is Satan, some of it is the testing of the Lord. We may be despairing at the state of the nation, at the state of our life, at the state of the world. We're maybe enduring pain and trial and affliction. But if we stand the test, if we look up and see the Lord in his temple and the Lord on his throne, we worship him, we receive his governance, the faithful king. He's the same as he was for David. He is the same as he's going to be in the book of Revelation. He is the faithful king, never changing. If we endure the trial, endure the testing, we will have the blessing of seeing God's face. For we will become more like Christ and nearer God and get nearer to him and nearer to him. And the wicked, for whom the Lord is not their faithful king, is not their refuge, they will be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I must stop and say, as believers now, it is our privilege and our responsibility to pray for the people who are snared in wickedness, that they will turn and repent, because God does not want to destroy them. He does not want them to die in their sin. He gives them choices, though. He gives all of us choices. He gives us a choice to see him as our refuge. He gives us a choice to see him in his temple. He gives us a choice to see him as our king, to worship him, to receive him as king, that is, submit to his governance. And of course, that includes the trial. We have those choices, and so do the wicked. We worship him. We choose, as believers in Jesus Christ, as people who have agreed with God that we need to be saved from our sins, as people who have looked at Jesus Christ and said, he has paid for our sins, and therefore accepted the payment that Jesus Christ made in his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. As we receive those elements and those activities of salvation for our own atonement, and we have received Jesus Christ that way, and the Holy Spirit has come and made his residence in us so that we can turn from being wicked and doing wicked things and literally let God change our heart so that our heart yearns to see the face of God. We choose to worship him in the midst of all the travail of life, even for some of us, just the travail of our emotions, a deadness we might feel. We choose to worship him. We choose to rejoice. We choose to love him, to honor him as God, our God, the faithful God. It's the same for us as he was for David. And if he is our refuge, we see him in his temple and we worship. And if he is our refuge, we see him in his throne room, on the throne, and we receive him as king. We receive his governance. And if he is our refuge, we submit to his refining testing. We submit to the fire that is a holy fire for us. And we will be refined, and we will grow closer and closer and closer to God until we see his very face. What a blessing. What a blessing for us. And so, good people of Westchester Chapel and beyond, who is your refuge in today's wild world? Who is your refuge when it seems that the foundations are crumbling? Are your foundations in the Lord God Almighty? Because if they are, they will never, ever crumble. You will never have to flee to the mountain to escape this world because God is your refuge. He is your king. And so we've had earthquakes, we've had eclipses. The ground may shake in the natural, but your spiritual foundation will hold steady if the Lord is your refuge. And so this is the question. Who is your refuge today? Let it be the Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Father, we receive you as refuge. We agree with you that we need to be saved from our sins. We agree with you that Jesus paid for our sins. We agree with you that Jesus will be the one who atones for our sin. He will be our Lord. He will be our Savior. He will be the God we worship with you and with the Holy Spirit because you are in your temple. And you are on your throne, and we submit to you as the mighty King of glory. We receive you as our King, and we receive, therefore, your choices for our life, your governance over our life, including your refining fire, which will not harm us, though it might hurt. It will not harm us, and it will make us more and more like Jesus Christ, so that we can see your face and receive that great blessing. So today we say to you, Lord, you are my refuge. Lord, you are my refuge. Lord, you are my God. Lord, you are my King. Lord, refine me by the power of the fire that's holy and change me because I would see your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance that you may see his face and grant you shalom.
Thanks for listening. After hearing the message today, if you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus or rededicate your life to Him, why not do it now? Pray with me right where you are. Lord Jesus, I turn from going my own way, and I choose to follow You. Forgive me for my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross to cover them and rising again from the dead. I choose now to live for You, and I receive Your life into mine. Amen. If you prayed with us, get in touch through our contact page at westchesterchapel.org. There you can find more information on how to grow in your faith and where we meet. We'd love to have you join us.